Today is the first day of June. Welcome, 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 welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. Welcome back around the global campfire. Welcome to a brand new, shiny, sparkly month. Right here at the beginning of our brand new week. Today is the first day of the sixth month of the year. Golly, what in the heck, right? How did that happen? Today is the 152nd day of our journey, of our year together. And so that locates us at the point in history that we are living. Let's dive into the scriptures and allow them to speak into how we are living it. 2 Samuel chapter 18 verse 1 through 19 verse 10. Then David gathered the troops who were with him and appointed unit commanders over thousands and hundreds. David sent out the army, a third under Joab's command, a third under the command of Abishai, Zeruiah's son, and a third under the command of Ittai the Gittite. The king told the troops, "I will march out with you myself." But the troops replied, "No, you must not march out. If we flee, they won't care about us. Even if half of us die, they won't care about us. But you are worth 10,000 of us. It is much better if you support us from the city." The king said to them, "I will do whatever you think is best." So the king stood beside the gate as all the troops marched out by hundreds and thousands. The king gave orders to Joab, Abishai, and Ittai, "For my sake, protect my boy Absalom." All the troops heard what the king ordered regarding Absalom to all the commanders. So the troops marched into the field to meet the Israelites. The battle was fought in the Ephraim forest. The army of Israel was defeated there by David's soldiers. A great slaughter of 20,000 men took place that day. The battle spread out over the entire countryside, and the forest devoured more soldiers than the sword that day. Absalom came upon some of David's men. Absalom was riding on a mule, and the mule went under the tangled branches of a large oak tree. Absalom's head got caught in the tree. He was left hanging in mid-air while the mule under him kept on going. One of the men saw this and reported to Joab, "I just saw Absalom hanging from an oak tree." Joab said to the man who told him, "You saw this? Why didn't you kill him on the spot? I would have given you 10 pieces of silver and a belt." But the man said to Joab, "Even if I had 1,000 pieces of silver in my hand, I wouldn't touch the king's son. We heard what the king commanded you, Abishai and Ittai. For my sake, take care of my boy Absalom. If I had taken Absalom's life behind the king's back, then, though nothing is hidden from the king, you would have kept your distance from me." Joab said, "I won't waste time like this with you." He took 3 sticks in his hand and drove them into Absalom's chest while he was still alive in the oak. Then 10 young armor bearers of Joab surrounded Absalom, struck him, and killed him. Then Joab sounded the trumpet, and the troops stopped chasing the Israelites because Joab held them back. They took Absalom and threw him into a big pit in the forest. They piled over him a huge heap of stones. Meanwhile, all the Israelites fled to their homes. When he was alive, Absalom had raised a large pillar for himself in the king's valley, because he said, "I have no sons to carry on the memory of my name." He named the pillar after himself. It is called Absalom's Monument to this day. Then Zadok's son Ahimaaz said, "Please, let me run and take the news to the king that the Lord has vindicated him against his enemy's power." Joab said to him, "You aren't the one to bring the news today. You can bring news on another day, but not today, because the king's son is dead." Then Joab said to a Cushite, Go tell the king what you have seen. The Cushite bowed low before Joab, then ran off. But Zadok's son Ahimaaz again said to Joab, I don't care what happens. Just let me run after the Cushite too. Why do you want to go, son? Joab asked. You'll get no reward for going. I don't care what happens. I want to go, Ahimaaz said. So Joab said to him, run off then. Ahimaaz ran off going by way of the plain and past the Cushite. Now David was sitting between the two gates. The watchman on duty went up on the roof of the gate by the wall. He looked out and saw a man running alone. The watchman called out and reported this to the king. The king said, if he's alone, it's good news. The man got nearer and nearer, and the watchman saw another man running and called down to the gatekeeper. There's another man running alone. The king said, that one must be bringing good news too. The watchman said, I can see that the first one runs like Zadok's son Ahimaaz. He's a good man, the king said, and is coming with good news. Ahimaaz called out to the king, peace, and bowed low before the king, his nose to the ground. He said, bless the Lord your God, who has delivered up the men who raised their hands against my master the king. The king said, is my boy Absalom okay? Ahimaaz said, I saw a large crowd right when Joab, the king's servant, sent your servant off, but I don't know what it was about. Step aside and stand right here, the king said. So Ahimaaz stepped aside and waited. Then the Cushite arrived and said, my master, the king, listen to this good news. The Lord has vindicated you this day against the power of all who rose up against you. The king said to the Cushite, is my boy Absalom okay? The Cushite answered, may the enemies of my master the king and all who rise up against you to hurt you end up like that young man. The king trembled. He went up to the room over the gate and cried. As he went, he said, oh, my son, Absalom. Oh, my son. My son, Absalom, if only I had died instead of you. Oh, Absalom, my son. Joab was told that the king was crying and mourning Absalom. So the victory that day was turned into mourning for all the troops because they heard that day that the king was grieving for his son. So that day the troops crept back into the city like soldiers creep back ashamed after they fled from battle. The king covered his face and cried out in a loud voice, oh, my son, Absalom! Oh, Absalom, my son! My son! Joab came to the king inside and said, today you have humiliated all your servants who have saved your life today, not to mention the lives of your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your secondary wives, by loving those who hate you and hating those who love you. Today you have announced that the commanders and their soldiers are nothing to you, because I know that if Absalom were alive today and the rest of us dead, that would be perfectly fine with you. Now get up, go out and encourage your followers. I swear to the Lord that if you don't go out there, not one man will stick with you tonight. And that will be more trouble for you than all the trouble that you faced from your youth until now. So the king went and sat down in the city gate. All the troops were told that the king was sitting in the gate, so they came before the king. Meanwhile, the Israelites had fled to their homes. Everyone was arguing throughout Israel's tribes, saying, the king delivered us from our enemy's power, and he rescued us from the Philistines' power. but now he has fled from the land and from controlling his own kingdom. And Absalom, the one we anointed over us, is dead in battle. So why do you say nothing about bringing the king back?" John 20. Early in the morning of the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. She ran to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord from the tomb, and we don't know where they've put him." Peter and the other disciple left to go to the tomb. They were running together, but the other disciple ran faster than Peter and was the first to arrive at the tomb. Bending down to take a look, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he didn't go in. Following him, Simon Peter entered the tomb and saw the linen cloths lying there. He also saw the face cloth that had been on Jesus' head. It wasn't with the other cloths, but was folded up in its own place. Then the other disciple, the one who arrived at the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They didn't yet understand the scripture that Jesus must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to the place where they were staying. Mary stood outside near the tomb, crying. As she cried, she bent down to look into the tomb. She saw two angels dressed in white, seated where the body of Jesus had been, one at the head and one at the foot. The angels asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" She replied, "They have taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they've put him." As soon as she said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she didn't know it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who are you looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she replied, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Don't hold on to me, for I haven't yet gone up to my Father. Go to my brothers and sisters and tell them, I'm going up to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene left and announced to the disciples, "I've seen the Lord." Then she told them what he said to her. It was still the first day of the week. That evening, while the disciples were behind closed doors because they were afraid of the Jewish authorities, Jesus came and stood among them. He said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. When the disciples saw the Lord, they were filled with joy. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, so I am sending you." Then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you don't forgive them, they aren't forgiven." Thomas, the one called Didymus, one of the 12, wasn't with the disciples when Jesus came. The other disciples told him, "We've seen the Lord." But he replied, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, put my finger in the wounds left by the nails, and put my hand into his side, I won't believe." After 8 days, his disciples were again in a house, and Thomas was with them. Even though the doors were locked, Jesus entered and stood among them. He said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here. Look at my hands. Put your hand into my side. No more disbelief. Believe. Thomas responded to Jesus, my Lord and my God. Jesus replied, do you believe because you see me? Happy are those who don't see and yet believe. And Jesus did many other miraculous signs in his disciples' presence, signs that aren't recorded in this scroll. But these things are written so that you will believe that Jesus is the Christ, God's Son, and that believing, you will have life in his name. Psalm 119, 153 through 176. Resh. Look at my suffering and deliver me, because I haven't forgotten your instruction. Argue my case and redeem me. Make me live again by your word. Salvation is far from the wicked, because they haven't pursued your statutes. You have so much compassion, Lord. Make me live again according to your rules. My oppressors and enemies are many, but I haven't turned away from your laws. I look on the faithless, and I am disgusted because they haven't kept your word. Look at how much I love your precepts. Make me live again, Lord, according to your faithful love. The first thing to know about your word is that it is true, and that all your righteous rules last forever. Sin and Shin. Rulers oppress me without cause, but my heart honors what you've said. I'm overjoyed at your word, like someone who finds great treasure. I absolutely despise what is false. But I'm in love with your instruction. I praise you 7 times a day for your righteous rules. The people who love your instruction enjoy peace and lots of it. There's no stumbling for them. Lord, I wait for your saving help. I do what you've commanded. I keep your laws. I love them so much. I keep your precepts and your laws because all my ways are seen by you. Tav. Let my cry reach you, Lord. Help me understand according to what you've said. Let my request for grace come before you. Deliver me according to your promise. Let my lips overflow with praise, because you've taught me your statutes. Let my tongue declare your word, because all your commandments are righteous. Let your power help me, because I have chosen your precepts. Lord, I long for your saving help. Your instruction is my joy. Let me live again, so I can praise you. Let your rules help me. I've wandered off like a sheep, lost. Find your servant, because I haven't forgotten your commandments. Proverbs 16, 14, and 15. The king's anger is a messenger of death. The wise will calm him. There's life in the light of the king's face. His favor is like a cloud that brings spring rain. So as we move ourselves into this new month, we find ourselves between life and death, and much transition happening in the scriptures. In 2 Samuel, Absalom's coup against his father reached the climax of the story. The two armies fought a dramatic battle in the forest of Ephraim, and 20,000 people lost their lives, including Absalom. And those who were loyal to the king, King David, were overjoyed. David's heart was broken. His sadness demoralized those who had bravely fought to defend his kingdom. And Joab, David's general, confronted him, telling him to not lose the hearts of his warriors. Absalom was trying to kill the king. He is the prince. He is the king's son. The son was trying to kill his dad, which is really, really, really messed up. But their duty is to protect the king and the kingdom. And Absalom died. And here's David, weeping very openly and loudly, so that as the soldiers come back in from the battle, they don't know how to be or how to feel. They feel on the one hand that they defended their country, their king. But to do that, the enemy was actually in the king's family, and so the king's son died in battle. Now the king's son is dead, and he seems more upset that his son is dead than if they had lost the battle. It's just very, very, very confusing for them. So Joab does have to kind of get in his face and say, "You have to wake up to what this looks like, to what's happening. Absalom chose to try to kill you. We have defended and saved your life and the kingdom. You represent more than you. He is your son. You are grieving, yes. But the way you are making your soldiers feel is that you wish they would have died instead of Absalom. They would have lost the battle so Absalom could live and the kingdom could fall. That you look so weak here. You have got to get up and go see the men." And so he does. And we'll continue the story. In the Gospel of John, the agonizing Sabbath after Jesus' death finally ended. Mary Magdalene visited the tomb where the body was laid. The body wasn't there. So she runs back and tells everybody they've taken the Lord's body out of the tomb and we don't know where they put it. So Peter and John run to the tomb and they corroborate Mary's story and leave, and Mary's still there grieving this hole in her heart, this loss in her life. And shortly after this, she sees a man who appears to be the gardener, the caretaker. "Sir," she says, if you took his body, if you took him away, where did you put him? I'll go get him." And then Jesus calls her by name. This is a really beautiful moment in the Bible. Really beautiful moment that we won't get to see again as we move forward into completely new territory. Our journey together began in a garden where all things were perfect, and so for Mary to see the risen Christ as a gardener and question him is interesting. And the first recorded words out of Jesus' mouth, like the resurrected Christ's mouth, according to the Gospel of John, the first word he speaks is Mary. So we began our journey 5 months ago, and all was lost in a garden, and in this one, all is redeemed. So Jesus, we thank you for the opportunity, for the possibility of restoration in our lives, for the possibility that we can have eternal life with you. The possibility that what gets broken can find healing. We thank you for your kindness and care for us. Thank you for the scriptures and all that they teach us. Thank you for all that you teach us through the scriptures. We invite your Holy Spirit to lead us into this brand new month, this sixth month of the year, into all truth. In the name of Jesus, we ask. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com is home base. The Daily Audio Bible app is home base as well. And as we all know by now, it's all new. All things new. And man, we're just a month in to the new launch of the new app. And it's been so encouraging to watch. Now, acknowledging that some of you are like, what are you talking about encouraging? I can't seem to figure this whole apparatus out. I cannot figure how your application can stay logged in. I can't, you know, I have these little, it just doesn't work for me. Gotcha. I had some of those problems too. I want to tell you about the latest update, because that came out a couple weeks ago. So we launched 2.0, and then immediately, like, observation mode, because it's out in the wild. So, you know, you test. We can test for a year on simulators and in beta groups and all kinds of things. But you turn something out into the wild, and that means, like, anybody anywhere can use it. And you find all kinds of things. Really interesting things. And so things that make it stronger. Like, things like, okay, got that. That needs, we need to optimize this database or whatever. I was having the problem of, like, I had to log in every time. Very frustrating. That's fixed. Update to 2.0.1. Just go to the App Store and update. And all of kind of the main pain points that were little frustrations pretty well get fixed. And that's going to continue to happen. Like, that's how software is released. Like, that's how it goes. I remember, oh gosh, it's a long while back. There's an editing software. It's called Final Cut Pro. I use that. I've used it for 20 years. Like, it is one of the de facto professional editing, you know, non-linear editing softwares. They decided they were going to come out with a whole brand new thing. Like, so they literally rewrote everything from the ground up. And it released, and it had so much hype, and I was so hyped. And it released, and, like, everything I was used to was gone. And things were renamed, like, terminology, like, the whole culture of the place had changed different. Like, we don't call this that anymore, it's called this. And it's like, geez, you make it easy to not use this. And we can kind of get into that mindset, like, this kind of consumer. we just consume. It's free, but we're going to consume it, and we're, you know, going to have an opinion as if we have anything, any skin in the game. It's silly how we humans can be entitled. Just asking us as a community to, like, go for a ride. We're building a home. And, man, we have really, really quickly addressed all of the kind of main things. And it's going to go on for another month or two, probably. And then we're going to start building new things. Just stabilizing, making sure that we have, you know, we have all the different features that we want to be in place. On a number of levels, even like I'm a bit vision impaired, so I know there's a ton of us out there that are like a lot worse than me. I can read, I can see, you know, I just have to wear these special contacts. But I get it. Like, I need to blow things up, or you needed to be able to read. We're working on everything. This is a brand new thing. So just make sure that you're updated to 2.0.1 at this point, and just so much smoother of an experience. So make sure that you do that. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, you can do that at dailyaudiobible.com. There is a link on the homepage. If you are using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. The mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That is the little red button up at the top. You can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today, other than just to once again welcome ourselves into this brand new shiny sparkly month. I am Brian. I love you. I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hi, DAB family. This is Resting in God's Shadow. I first just wanted to say thank you so much, Brian and Jill, Ezekiel, your entire family, for how much you pour into the campfire every single day. And thank you so much to the tech team for this app. It's been absolutely wonderful, and I've enjoyed it so much. I will continue to keep you all lifted in prayer. I'm a little late on this prayer, this request. The Lord has been pressing it in my heart to pray for quite some time. I have prayed him before. I'm going through what I lovingly have named Operation Freedom, a divorce. This entire process started, over 6 years ago. My husband and I have been legally separated. He's been moved out of the house over 3.5 years ago. So it's been some time. We're supposed to have a JCS meeting next week that might actually be changing to mediation. But at any rate, so I really just, if y'all could just lift me up in prayer over that the Lord's will is done 100%, that our hearts remain soft and open towards each other, that we are able to co-parent and keep my son the priority throughout this entire process and continue to co-parent as beautifully as we have been doing, that the Lord's hand is in it 100%, that I am able, that he affords me to be able to continue to afford the house that my son and I live in and that my son has literally grew up in his entire life for over 13 and a half years. And that I just have, honestly, just some type of financial stability for the future. We've had to sell properties that we owned, and, you know, all of the things that we built as a portfolio for retirement obviously has changed dramatically. So if you could keep me lifted in prayer for that, I would appreciate it. Thank you so much, family. In Jesus' name I pray.
Yes, I was calling about a inmate at Limestone Correctional Center in Harvest, Alabama. He's been having heart pain for all 2 or 3 days, and they sent him to the doctor, and they said they didn't do nothing. He was still hurting and everything, and I was asking prayers for him to be healed. And he had stents years ago, and it's about time they redid them or something, because he's constantly having chest pains and taking medications that's not helping. his pain or his problem. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hi, family. It's his little Cherie in Canada. I wanted to give you an update on a few of my prayer requests. First of all, about Bruce, eagle-eyed Bruce. We just talked to him and learned that they think he probably has throat cancer, that the cancer has spread to his throat. And so he's signed up to go to the hospital to begin chemo. I have no idea when that will happen, but please continue to pray for Bruce. My dad, Pastor Gandolf, had a scope done, and he still has an enlarged prostate, but it isn't as enlarged as it was, and it's not causing any interference with his bladder. So that's great. They did find just a small shadow on his bladder, so they took a quick biopsy of that, and he'll get the results of that later in June. But please continue to pray for my beloved dad, Pastor Gandolf. His real name is Larry. And then my nephew's wife, Nikki, she's the one with a serious heart issue, the one who is going to the States for procedure. She still has a surgery date of June 11th, and we're hoping she can go sooner than that, but if not, she'll be going on June 11th, and please pray for her kids. She has three small children, three young kids, and this is going to be the first time they'll be away from both of their parents, so it's going to be hard for them to be away from their parents for 2 weeks. But the family's stepping up to take care of them. So thank you for all your prayers. Love you guys. Bye.
Hi, everyone. My name is Mfon. I'm calling from Texas, and I'm praying for Ice Baloney. I did not get the name very well. She said that her husband was diagnosed with Alzheimer's in 2011, and they have a newly graduated son that is turning to alcohol because his heart is breaking. And also, she is the only one taking care of her husband. And she needs healing. Every one of them needs healing. So, Lord, we pray for this lady. We pray for healing over her life, her family, her son, her husband. We pray that your light will shine in her family. We pray for restoration. We pray for comfort. We pray for peace. We pray that, Lord, you show up. Lord, I pray that you bring healing to her, and that, Lord, you restore the heart of her son and open the eyes of her son to see how you can transform the life of her son to be of a help to the mom and also to support the family. Please help this family and bring healing, complete healing, total healing, as they depend on you, as they believe that you are able. Please show up, because you are a God of miracle. Thank you, O Father, because we know you are always listening to us, and that you say when we ask, we receive. We receive answers to our prayers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I want to pray for Anthony, who called in on May 24th. Father, I ask you to give our brother strength. He sounded so down. I ask you to please help him, heal him, touch his body even right now. Give him the strength he needs to overcome this illness. Help him. Even right now, give him comfort to help him with what he needs to go through. I have no idea what he is going through, Father. But I can hear the grief in his voice. I can hear the sadness. And he's reaching out to you, Father. Please be there for him. Anthony, thank you for calling with us, for calling in. I don't know what you're going through, brother, but all I can do is sit with you and tell you that I love you and that Jesus loves you. And I pray for your peace and restoration and healing, brother, and I decree it over you that you will live and not die, and you will see joy in the land of the living. I believe God's truth. I decree it over your life in Jesus' name. This is Valerie in Spartanburg, South Carolina.
At the beginning of 2026, I found myself putting each prayer request in a category, and it seemed as though cancer took the top spot, so to speak. Well, fast forward, or should I say go back to February, I had a big Galentine party for all my Bible study ladies, and I couldn't swallow a bite of grits, and I couldn't get it down, and I couldn't get it back up. So I knew something was going on. Fast forward to today, I too have been added to that cancer situation. I don't want to claim esophageal cancer, but that's how they've diagnosed me. And I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I am healed. I know I am. I don't know if it will be here on this earth or if it will be in heaven, but I am healed. So, Deb family, I'm coming to you today to ask you to join me in faith that I am healed. I want to see God get all the glory for this, and I know He's doing something so mighty in me. I can, every morning that I wake up, He's showing me something different. But I have people in my family and people that I love that I want to see come to Him. He's going to use it. I know He's going to use it. I call those things that be not as though they are. I am healed in Jesus' name by His precious blood. And I ask you to stand with me in faith. I love you all. I'm praying for each one of you. This is Taken with Love from Louisiana. God bless y'all.